This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
In another blow to Joe Biden's sweeping immigration reform, a federal judge blocked Biden's 100-day moratorium on deportations. Texas Judge Drew Tipton indefinitely banned the policy after Attorney General Ken Paxton argued the move was in violation of federal law. The Biden administration was accused of hypocrisy for reusing a border facility to house migrant children. The Department of Health and Human Services recently reopened the facility in Texas that President Obama opened to house unaccompanied children. More than 700 children who crossed from Mexico into the United States without their parents were in Border Patrol custody as of Sunday. The current backup is yet another sign of a brewing crisis for President Biden and a worsening dilemma for these vulnerable children. A massive demand for housing is fueling a spike in home prices across the country. The result has been an unprecedented seller's market that is only likely to drive house pricing up in the coming months. USA Radio News.
All right, crew, let's get her done.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Gas prices at the pumps have been inching their way up. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, John Clemens reports.
That price is 24 cents higher than a month ago. And according to Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com, the price could be going even higher.
Average gas prices will likely continue to rise some 5 to 15 cents a gallon over the next 2 weeks, so long as oil prices do not see additional gain.
The increase of 13 cents a gallon is due to 12 refineries being shut down in Texas due to the snowstorm.
Oil prices continue to put pressure on gasoline prices, but are holding near $60 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate crude oil. But average gas prices soared last week after refinery shutdowns in Texas impacted gasoline production.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
Thanks for listening. It is well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
West Virginia seems to be the role model for the vaccination rollout. Ohio USA Radio News Bureau's Dan Naraki has more.
West Virginia remains among the leaders in the nation at getting COVID vaccines into the arms of its residents. Nearly 10% of the state's population have received both shots of the vaccine, with nearly all the doses West Virginia has received being administered. Governor Jim Justice says his state's vaccination plan has been simple. He tells Fox News they quickly mobilized as many resources as they could to administer shots.
Our model's real simple, and it's just this. Is really, when it really boils right down to it, we got our local pharmacies, all of our local clinics, our National Guard stepped up, and we took off. And we took off with the people that we knew were going to die, and that was our elderly. And we absolutely got ourselves back in school, because we vaccinated all of our teachers and service personnel right off the get-go from 50 and up. And absolutely, you know, like I said over and over and over, there's a lot of good things going on right now in West Virginia.
The CDC says since vaccine distribution began in the United States on December 14th, more than 65 million doses have been administered, reaching 13.4% of the total U.S. population. The U.S. is currently administering over 1.4 million shots a day. It's a NASCAR weekend in Miami, Florida. Saturday, the Xfinity Contender Boats 250 starts at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And on Sunday, it's the Dixie Vodka 400, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox and Motor Racing Network. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
How would you like to improve your hearing by 100% for around $100 a month? Are the joys of life worth $100 a month to you? Of course they are. All Hear produces state-of-the-art hearing systems that are guaranteed to improve your hearing or your money back. These are quality devices, not some cheap imitation. That's why we guarantee your hearing will be improved. We'll even give everyone that calls right now a free 30-day home trial. Use your hearing device for 30 days. If you're not 100% happy, send them back. And we offer easy financing plans for about $100 a month with virtually 100% approval. If you're ready to get your hearing back the way it was when you were younger, call right now for your risk-free 30-day trial.
800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. 800-765-2964. That's 800-765-2964.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We never thought it'd be easy, did we? Like JFK said, we do it because it is hard. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Great to have you along with us. We've got the political science professor, the one and only Dr. Wilfred Riley with us right now. Will, how you doing?
Doing pretty well. Happy to be back on the show.
Hey, before we get into, you know, your latest tweet, which I thought was, I said, oh, we got to talk about this. We have some breaking news coming out regarding, you know, the George Floyd situation, the matter. You've got three of the four former Minneapolis police officers who were charged in the death of George Floyd. It set off a summer of rage, destruction, mayhem, and chaos, basically in Democratic-run cities across the country. They're asking to have their clients' cases dismissed, arguing that the prosecutors leaked information about plea deals in the works to the press. What do you make of this?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see this end with none of the officers convicted, honestly. Yeah. I mean, there are people in the audience who'll be happy about that. People in the audience who'll be upset about that. But from the beginning, this was a different situation than what it was presented as being, right? I mean, the idea was there's a white supremacist murder of George Floyd. Now, obviously, the George Floyd video is terrible to watch. If your department protocol is we're going to use a rear knee neck hold on a guy if he's right. Behaving a little frenziedly for 8 minutes, we need to change that protocol. But, I mean, the reality is you had either two or three men of color in that group of cops. I mean, you had a Laotian guy, you had a Hispanic and Korean guy. One of the other officers may have been interracial, assuming just a white guy, and then you had Chauvin. So I don't really think there's an element of intense racism there if you go through the whole transcript, which lasts roughly an hour. I don't think that there's also obviously the medical examiner's report, which came out and said that there's an overdose level amount. Those are the words of fentanyl in Mr. Floyd's bloodstream. He's also on methamphetamine. Right. So I think we all knew what the defense was going to be. And there've been rumors because, I mean, I teach in criminal justice as well, law enforcement context. There've been rumors that the prosecutors have been the source of this information to the press for a while. Mm-hmm. So when you put all this together, I mean, there's an obvious defense, which is that Floyd quite possibly would have overdeed with or without a fight with the police. When you look at what prosecution is doing, I wouldn't be surprised to see these guys let go. And then the question, of course, becomes what happened again in Minneapolis? I mean, where they burnt down a police station the last time something like this occurred.
Right, exactly. Well, and, this has been the big problem with the irresponsibility of the mainstream media and how this has been hyped up in such a degree that we can't, we can't have a moment of reason to be able to have this conversation. And this is the problem when you're dealing with emotion versus reason. And if emotion is controlling the conversation, you kind of touched on this, and you have been touching on this a little bit in your tweets. Which I think is really important because we need to see what we're doing, to one another and this country because we're letting emotion be the rule of the day.
Yeah, I mean, so right now there's a huge amount of criticism of conservative media from kind of center sources like The Atlantic, Reason, arguing that quote-unquote conspiracy theories about the election were promoted. We went back and forth last time about it. You know, is there any evidence for that, whatnot? I think moving on to the left-wing press, there's considerably more evidence that these sort of very broad conspiratorial ideas about race, black people are being denied the COVID vaccine or something that ran for the past couple of weeks, are given very free rein. And yeah, that obviously has some effect, some influence. So if you're a mainstream publication, say the NY Times, and you don't want your readers to think that you're racially insensitive, I mean, there are things you're very often going to do, leaving out the race and even the names of criminal suspects from crime stories, for example, I think is something we all notice. And with George Floyd, there was a great deal of this. I haven't seen a truly major newspaper above the Chicago Tribune level, let's say, run that story about how Floyd quite possibly overdosed on fentanyl. That doesn't excuse the police brutality, anything like that.
Right.
But obviously, if you ignore that, and if there's a jury that hears that entire story, and if you are the press and you still don't report that story after the jury acquits, yeah, you're going to see some rioting, you're going to see some
exactly.
fighting, you're going to see black men and police officers killing one another. You're going to see a death toll of more than one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you see, this is the thing, you know, with what happened, for example, on January the 6th at the Capitol, all they want to talk about is that carved out particular moment in time instead of all the things. And I thought that during the impeachment, some of this start to, you know, begin to come out in terms of the rhetoric on we'll say both sides. OK, just to keep it fair and in a sense and to say that. But particularly from the left and during this summer of love in these mostly peaceful riots with buildings burning and businesses being burnt down and people losing their jobs and over $3 billion, I think it's been estimated, of damage. All this occurring, and George Floyd was the lightning rod for all this. And so here, all they want to talk about is what happened on January the 6th and the speech from President Trump. And now, ever so slowly, we're starting to get more details about who the players were in that January 6th riot.
Yeah, the Capitol riots are another example of this. There's a good piece by Glenn Greenwald, who's on the left, who's probably one of the top five real journalists in America, that looks at the Capitol riot, and it's called something like The Lies Around the Capitol Riot. People should look it up. But, I mean, he makes the point that obviously, again, rioting is bad. If you riot, you're a disgusting thug.
Right.
If you break into Congress and sit at Nancy Pelosi's desk smoking a cigar, you're going to get at least a year inside. That's how the law works. But many of the major claims that were made about the Capitol riot early on, for example, Republican fighters put pipe bombs outside the DNC and the RNC, have turned out to be completely untrue. We now don't know who placed the pipe bombs there. There'd been consistent rioting mostly on the left in D.C. for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to pull up images right now. It turned out that happened at least a day before the riot.
Right.
Could have been on the right, could have been on the left. Could have just been a nut, which is my default when someone starts shooting at people they don't know, by the way, that guy's crazy.
Right.
The officer, Officer Sicknick, heroic officer, but I mean the original claim, if you remember this, is that he'd been beaten with fire extinguisher.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, knocked out with an extinguisher. They hit him with an American flag. He died. It turns out that Sicknick was involved in the fighting. Did so well, by all accounts. He was hit by a fire extinguisher. He was wearing a $1,000 Mylar helmet. He went home, texted with his family that night, seemed to be fine, and essentially had a stroke the next day. That's quite possibly due to exposure to bear mace or one of the chemicals that was used that day, but both sides were using those, and that's not something anyone would have medically predicted. Still bad, but I mean, not the police murder it was presented as. And so on down the line, as the zip tie dude turned out to have picked those off the table in the Capitol, the person who admitted that was his own prosecutor, so there weren't people showing up with this coherent plan to grab AOC. Oh, it turns out AOC was in another building. So again, some of the rioters are going to do jail time, but the issue, a separate issue from is rioting bad, is the media generally, one, sensationalist, and two, left-slanted, and presenting us with a whole bunch of BS? And the answer to that question is yes.
Yes. It seems quite obvious. And here we have a president on Inauguration Day, it says his administration is going to be about unity. Boy, I'll tell you, man, that's like... That's like getting our country back on track. It's a difficult thing to do, no doubt, especially when there's only so much you can do. You can lead by example, but unity is going to happen in the hearts of men, and we have to give them a reason to search their hearts.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Attention radio listeners. If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electricity, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited number of solar backup generators are now back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently in your own home. So whether it's dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. And the best news, this week only, listeners purchasing a solar generator will receive hundreds of dollars in free off-the-grid bonuses. So go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Again, supplies are extremely limited, so go to mysolarbackup.com today.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back with you, fresh and independent, as we are 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 19 minutes after. Our conversation with Dr. Wilfred Riley, the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And speaking of his book, Taboo, boy, I'll tell you, the scholarship in your book and the research, Dr. Riley, is awesome. I mean, I have gone to your book and referenced it. I mean, it's dog-eared because of use. And, you know, in fact, I'm on my second book because sometimes people, I let them in my office and they, oh, yeah. And suddenly that book disappears. So, you know, it's like, well, look, let me buy one for you. Don't take my book because I got it all dog-eared and I know, you know, what pages I'm familiar with. But one of the things you were tweeting about that I wanted to bring to the forefront here of our discussion is the fact that discrimination exists against everyone. And when I read that tweet, I thought, not only against everyone, but in everyone.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, that's one of those things that's almost at the level of sin. Like, I don't think there's anyone that has no prejudices against women or against people from nations we fought wars with, something like that. I think racism is just a human vice. Mm-hmm. But the basis of the tweet was that I was interested in how much discrimination there was against blacks today, using a real measure, not, you know, the implicit bias test of the witness of the wherefores. But actually, I went to the Pew data site. And I pulled up what's called the work for, vote for question, which I think is a good measure of practical, especially among males, like practical racism. Would you have a, you know, boss of blank group? Would you hire someone of blank group? Would you vote for someone of blank group? And it turns out racism against blacks is like 8 to 10%. They're still a good chunk of people that are prejudiced against African Americans. Okay, that's bad. But I didn't stop there. I scrolled through the rest of the site. And I mean, if you go just down these charts, I mean, if you just Google, attitudes toward non-traditional candidates, you'll find at least the vote for stuff. Catholics, 7% prejudice. Women, 9% prejudice. Hispanics, 10% prejudice. And then you get into, like, smaller groups. We're not talking about, like, middle-class black or Mexican guys. We're talking about niche populations. I mean, Mormons, 19% strong bias, wouldn't work for, vote for. Arabs, 38%. So the point is pretty much that obviously, bias against black people is bad, but the same level of bias exists against a large number of groups, gay people, and it doesn't necessarily have all that much to do with things that we look at, like what are test scores looking like this year?
Right. Yeah, I think some of this has to just to do with, you know, experiential preference or innate preference and that sort of thing. But I'm curious, even though, you know, we look at prejudice against blacks being at 8%, I'd be curious to see how that has gone down, because I suspect that that has gone down. You know, probably if you were to look at it 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I mean, look what's happened. I mean, we elected a president, black athletes involved in our entertainment fields to an incredible measure. For me, I look at that number and I say, but I'd like to see what happened, you know, what it was like, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And because I see us progressing in a positive movement. I mean, are we going to eradicate all prejudice and discrimination? I don't, you know, it's not going to happen because of what you just said. Whether you call it sin or the human condition, it exists and it will be there. And, you know, that is something that has to be tackled on an individual basis. That's why I believe that some of the aspirational, rhetoric that comes from, you know, Joe Biden and all politicians is that it's so much out of their control because it is in the hearts of every man and woman.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the short answer to your question is, yeah, racism's gotten a lot better. I mean, so one of the things that tends to be ignored on the modern left is that the civil rights movement in the USA was a victory. We can argue that there's still some very subtle prejudice. Both whites and blacks prefer to live in neighborhoods that are majority white or black, and that could, you know, affect the money that flows into the schools. I mean, you could talk about this subtle, like, third and fourth level removed racism, but I mean, in 1954, we desegregated the country by law. I mean, in 1964, we made discrimination illegal by law. If I own a barbecue restaurant, I can't refuse to serve whites or Hispanics or Asians or anybody else, blacks if I were white. Since 1967, we've had pro-minority affirmative action. Blacks, Latinos, that initially included Asians. So you can debate about whether that counters the racism we have left totally, but there's no denying that this is real or pretending that this wasn't a massive change. That's crazy. So, yeah, when we look at racism, I mean, up through the mid 1970s, there was a question on these kind of Pew and Gallup polls that literally just read, do you support segregation? Mm-hmm. And about 50% of whites, about 40% of blacks did. Like, if you walked into the other group's neighborhood in Chicago, black, whites, Italians, whatever, like, you might be beaten by a crowd of kids. Right. So we've dramatically moved past that, and it's important to recognize that. When you get down to that 8%, that 5%, I think there you're getting into the question of, like, the poor will be ever with us. Like, are you going to fix that?
Yes, right.
How many resources are you going to spend on that?
Right. Well, we've already spent, near $30 trillion on the war on poverty, and how well have we done with that? The other thing I'm increasingly concerned about is this conversation about reparations. I mean, with all the things that we're dealing with, you know, Congress says, wait a minute, we've got to do this study on reparations for slavery. Of course, Joe Biden, the administration, wants to include Native Americans in this.
Wait, what?
This is like... This is going to be an interesting deal, because here we are looking at numbers that seem to be moving, I believe, in a positive direction. Are we going to create, additional pressure on the racial divide and make things worse in America now that we're talking about? Because this almost seems unsolvable, because once you go down that road of reparations, it's never enough. And then how do you answer that question? Well, who gets reparations? And here you are asking people who didn't own slaves to pay for, pay to people that weren't necessarily slaves, but only by color defined as people that should be receiving the reparations. And I like what Gary Bauer had to say. As you know, Barack Obama's ancestors owned slaves. So, you know, that's going to be an interesting phone call that Biden makes to his former partner there in the Oval Office, the former President Barack, saying, hey, I got good news and bad news. Good news is reparations passed. The bad news is you owe us some money.
Well, reparations is an interesting idea. So, I mean, first of all, hopefully no one's going to be offended by the terms I use for these groups. But if Indians are included, I don't see how you could leave out Mexicans or Irishmen. I mean, like,
right.
you're going a little past black slaves with that one, Uncle Joe.
Right.
That is a very valid point, though. I mean, obviously, Hispanic Americans, if you look at PNH or the Bracero program, were absolutely abused in the USA.
Right.
So were Irish
exactly.
people. We often forget this, but I mean, that was the majority of the indentured servants, slaved for 23 years, and no Irish need apply. So if you're going to just say, if you were abused in this country, we're going to give you some money. I mean, I have bad news for you about women and Jews and so on. I mean,
exactly.
That's not a reliable standard, but like, just focusing on black people, or at least something of a case.
Mm-hmm.
Not that natives were not horribly abused, not that they didn't fight very bravely. So, I mean, the 40 acres and a meal was promised to slaves. Even looking there, like, all the problems that you mentioned come up. Like, who's black? Like, am I? Genetically, I'm like 40% black.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd be kind of annoyed if you told me I'm not white.
Mm-hmm.
Who pays? The average white immigrant's ancestors came here from Italy in like 1910. Who's next? We already see Mr. Biden trying to add Indians, perhaps Hispanics. I mean, so there are a lot of issues with any real reparations bill. The one thing I'll say about reparations is we can't have reparations and affirmative action and all the stuff we have now, which is intended to repair.
Mm-hmm.
If reparations ever passes, which I'll just say on the record, I think would be a mistake, that has to be it. We have to give the value of 40 acres and a mule, which would be something like $50,000, to each head of household, and then move on. You can't just give people $50,000 worth of stock and then continue to prefer them or prefer us as oppressed. I mean, that
right.
down that path lies civil war.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is getting to that point, that's what Gary Bauer points out, is that, kind of like the war on poverty, you start scratching an itch that wasn't there, and, boy, you just create a bureaucratic mess here. Boy, I'll tell you, I think we're in for a bucket of gum and a lot of... a lot of emotions that are going to come out, and I don't know how to manage this. I don't know if we have enough therapists.
Yeah, well, we'll get some more probably if this happens. One thing we'll also get is some new black people identifying from the, Italian and Puerto Rican and so on communities.
Hey, people of color.
Something.
Hey, that's all it. Dr. Wilford Riley, we've got to leave it there. He's a political science professor at Kentucky State University. Get your hands on his book, Taboo. You will be blown away. Very fascinating. Good stuff. Dr. Riley, as always, appreciate it. Take care.
You too.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
In another blow to Joe Biden's sweeping immigration reform, a federal judge blocked Biden's 100-day moratorium on deportations. Texas Judge Drew Tipton indefinitely banned the policy after Attorney General Ken Paxton argued the move was in violation of federal law. The Biden administration was accused of hypocrisy for reusing a border facility to house migrant children. The Department of Health and Human Services recently reopened the facility in Texas that President Obama opened to house unaccompanied children. More than 700 children who crossed from Mexico into the United States without their parents were in Border Patrol custody as of Sunday. The current backup is yet another sign of a brewing crisis for President Biden and a worsening dilemma for these vulnerable children. A massive demand for housing is fueling a spike in home prices across the country. The result has been an unprecedented seller's market that is only likely to drive house pricing up in the coming months. USA Radio News.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Did you catch that pronoun, we? That means me's and you's, okay? If we're going to get this country back on track, we're going to save this country, it's we the people. That's where it's going to happen. You know, the thing is, I don't want you to get discouraged over what's happening in your world today and what's happening in this country. There's nothing new under the sun. As someone once wisely said, the problem with history is that we don't learn from history. So we keep repeating it. You know, in fact, I was talking with my wife earlier about Dr. J. Vernon McGee, who, you know, I think it's like 30 years that he's been gone. And he does a daily Bible show, and you listen to it, and you say, man, the guy's got to be alive. I mean, there's no way. I mean, he talks about, you know, he's been, you know, teaching us, and his sermons have gone all these decades of years, and they're still applicable. Christian Widener, I want to bring him on right now, because I know Christian can appreciate this. He's an internationally recognized expert and engineer, and we're going to be talking about his new book, The Temple Revealed. It's a serious investigation into the history and archaeology of the Temple Mount. Christian, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me on, Bill. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I appreciate your background and the way God has wired you. You know, you are uniquely wired, and you're, you know, a learned voice to help us understand, you know, from an engineering perspective. You know, my Bible school teachers, and I had a breath of them, and I was so blessed to be taught by such a spectrum of different ministry leaders, you know, 30, 40 years worth of experience that they brought to the classroom. I mean, and with each one, you're just amazed at how God had blessed them. And one in particular, Chuck Missler, like you, you know, had this very scientific engineering background, and his approach to the gospel just opened up, you know, just new revelation and new appreciation, because even with that, as some might say, that brainiac approach, boy, it's undeniable, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. No, I also really thought Chuck Missler brought a lot to the table and enjoyed the things that he did. And I'm sure he's in a much better place right now, and he's enjoying the fruits of his labors. Yeah.
Amen. And rightfully so. Well done, good and faithful servant, no doubt about it. You know, for you and your background, you know, how did this evolve? You know, tell your story.
I'm an engineer, you know, been on college campuses for a long time, and I was also a university professor. So, and I like to engage people and talk about, you know, I believe the Bible. And so we just kept getting challenged on things, you know, even things like, you know, really, you're a mechanical engineer and with a PhD and you believe in Noah's Ark? I'm like, well, yeah, you know, but you get challenged to kind of go, how big was that? And, you know, could that really have worked? And there's some amazing work if you've seen the Ark Encounter, and people, your listeners, right, I'm sure have heard of that, mm-hmm, where they really show, no, this is a real, you know, possibility. Mm-hmm. And it's not, you know, just some kind of made up story. Mm-hmm. And prophetically, I think that you see some of that same thing that starts, you know, kind of looking, hey, I see in the Bible, it looks like, you know, sounds to me like there's going to be a temple rebuilt. You know, and there's this, thing in Deuteronomy that, you know, and the Jews all have this understanding, and but you find it in the scriptures that it was a special place. It was supposed to be in a particular place. Mm. And so, you know, because
that's God for you. You know, that's God for you, right? Everything's particular and
absolutely
specific. There's no, you know, hey, I'll get it in the zip code kind of thing. I mean, you know,
right,
God is exact. That's what makes him God.
Yes. Yeah. So then that starts going, well, hey, so where was it? And as I looked into it a little bit, the answers that I was reading just didn't quite gel with what I was sensing. So then that's like a clue that says dig deeper here, and which is probably a Missler-ism, because he was also sort of famous for, you know, saying things about like, something doesn't, just dig deeper.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah, just keep asking questions. I mean, that's the scientist in him, you know, and the real science, because, you know, today we get a little faux science thrown out there because you know, they want to stop because there's a, you know, there's a different agenda as opposed to, you know, true education and learning. And that's what we love about true science. And it grieves me to see how at times it's compromised, because not only for the professional and for the heart of a scientist, you know, nobody wants to be blunted, whatever career you're in. But even, you know, in science, to be told you're invalidated and you're canceled because you're not going along with, you know, the common core doctrine of the day, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. And the base assumptions that you take to the data are so important. And, you know, if you're already assuming, for example, that the Bible's not true or it's not reliable, you're going to work the problem a lot differently than if you believe that the scriptures can be trusted. And when things don't fit at first, you don't give up. You keep looking.
Well, and as God said, look at, you know, to the truthful, you know, you will arrive at truth. But to the wily, you know, and one that wanted to twist things around, well, then you're that's your lot in life. It's a twisted life, you know, and that's what I've experienced, Christian. I'm sure probably in your walk and growth and development in your Christian experience is that when you're pursuing the truth, that's a good thing. And it's funny how often you arrive there, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, trust God, right? He's going to be proved true. So, you know, I think that's a rock we can stand on, and it has never let me down.
Well, you know, as they say, when you consider prophecy and what God has given us, I mean, what a gift it is. And it's also, you know, verification that God really did say what he said and he meant what he said. And when you consider that, well, roughly two-thirds of prophecy has been fulfilled, 1,000%, and as I tell people, with a third remaining, what do you think the chances are that he's going to hit another 1,000% on that third as well?
Absolutely. Yeah, and so many things have been fulfilled even, like, in our days in front of us.
Right.
That and I cover some of those things in the book that I think, you know, the way we should look at prophecy – people can, you know, try to find things that aren't there, but at the same time, the only thing we have is what's written in the Word, and then to compare to what happened. And even in the time of Jesus, they had the Word, and they had the things Jesus was doing. And he expected them to look at what was happening and what was written and to make a decision. Is he, you know, who he says he is?
Right.
And a lot of people miss it.
Right. Well, because he also understood, because of the hardness of people's hearts, they were not open. And interestingly enough, it was those religious icons, and Jesus came and indicted the religious people because they were empty sepulchres, as he said. You know, they were all show and no go, and you know, it's just not the way. It doesn't honor God, you know, because at that point you've determined that the temporal is more important than the eternal.
Yes. Yeah, when it's the other way around.
Right, exactly. Well, I do want to get deeper in the book. We got about a minute and a half to this side of the break here. You know, let's touch a little bit on the temple revealed. You know, this book, you know, an ongoing saga and journey for you to discover God, right?
Yes. Yeah, and it really was the search for the facts. I mean, I didn't have, you know, any preconceived thing like it has to be here and I'm going to prove it's there. I really wanted to understand where was it. What does the evidence point to? And you know, to kind of untangle the you know, various different opinions and hearsay and all these traditions. It was a mess, but I think the book shows the real facts.
Well, when we come back, we're going to keep everybody on the edge of their seats as we get through this this commercial break, because they're going to want to hear, and
right.
And even more so, not only want to hear, but they'll be encouraged to do their own study and their own personal search to validate this, because whether it's prophecy, whether it's education or whatever things that God has revealed to us, God doesn't have a problem. In fact, he encourages us, you know, to continue to seek the truth, to own that truth. Right, Christian?
Absolutely.
Well, we're talking with Christian Widener in his new book, The Temple Revealed, and he's going to reveal it to us and share us what his investigation into history and archaeology has provided regarding the Temple Mount. Stay tuned.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get two bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117. Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning.
If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Conversation with Christian Weidner continues. Christian obviously has a lot of interest in end times prophecy. And, of course, here we are, as many would agree. I believe that we are in the last of the last days. You know, Christian, you know, I had an opportunity to work with the Billy Graham Crusade in the mid-80s in Southern California. And in all my experience with Billy Graham, I never heard him talk about end time prophecy or anything that was eschatological. He just didn't talk about it. He was single focused on, you know, on bringing people to the cross and on evangelism. And I thought it was quite interesting that a few months before he passed, he told one interviewer, he says, these are the last of the last days. And so for Dr. Graham to see that, I thought it was quite profound. And again, we're encouraged when we start looking at the signs, and with all the chaos happening, you know, not just only in America, we're not the be-all and end-all of it, but, you know, around the world, you go, oh, Lord, how much longer? How much longer can we deal with this chaos when you hear about, you know, communist forces oppressing people and like the Uyghurs in East Turkestan and putting them in camps and, you know, the kind of disgusting, inhumane things that are being done to the Uyghurs, including, you know, organ harvesting and this sort of thing. I mean, it's just incredible. All these, like you said earlier, is nothing new. I mean, God told us that the hearts of men would wax cold, and it's being on, you know, put on display as we see the dehumanization of His creation.
Yeah, and when we're seeing
things that were, you know, written about 2,000, 2,500 years ago happening, yeah, it's time to sit up and take notice.
You think? I mean, because, and the thing is, like, I've shared with other people, and I don't know if you've observed this either, but even people who aren't necessarily practicing Christians, but there's just something inherently that God has wired into us, is that what I see people doing is they're looking up. You know, they're not looking to D.C. or the White House or, you know, Bill Gates or Amazon or whatever. I mean, they are looking up because they realize what we're dealing with is really in need of a God answer, right?
So true. And I have some friends that I've witnessed to for years, very resistant to the gospel. Suddenly after, you know, the events of this past year are now interested in talking about it.
Right. Well, Dr. Christian Weidner, who's with us, is a biblical scholar, researcher, and engineer. His interest in biblical archaeology stems from a passion for apologetics and the reliability of the literal and historic accounts of the Bible. At a time when even senior pastors in the pulpit today, Christian, doubt the veracity of the Bible. It is shocking to me. In fact, George Barna, my good friend, who had written a book, I think it's about 10 years ago, about Jesus, and he cited in that book, and this is really what drove me, was one of the motivating factors, was when he said that about 50%, I think the number might have been less than 50% of the senior pastors in the church today believe in a biblical worldview. And that biblical worldview, I mean, it's pretty basic. I mean, you believe that in the inerrant word of God, you believe it's your responsibility to talk to people about it. I mean, you don't want to just get to heaven by yourself. You know, you want a parade. You want to lead a parade into heaven, hopefully. And, You know, because, like, it's so interesting because, like, when we find a good deal, like there's whether a good stock deal or a good price on a car or something like that, we're real eager to go and tell our friends about it. But when it comes to Jesus, which far and exceeds any great deal in stock or car or whatever, you know, we're reticent.
Yeah, that's
true. And especially in today's culture, that wants to invalidate. You say, how dare you get that Christian stuff out of here? Well, little do you know, you don't really don't want that Christian stuff out of here. You really want to hang on to it because who knows? This could be your appointed time, and if you miss your appointed time, then what do you do?
Yeah, and I think the events that are going on give us some good reasons to talk to people and engage them about what is going on, and to show, you know, start to point to specific prophecies, things that are happening that have been foretold.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the Temple Mount and your investigation and your book. Where is it?
So looking at, you know, just Bible prophecy, it seems that, you know, there's a clear indication that the Temple of God will be rebuilt as a sign to the nations in the last days. But the predominant view of scholars and rabbis who, you know, the people who are going to actually do the work rebuilding it, is that it was where the Dome of the Rock is currently located today. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of left everyone going, well, is that going to be some kind of supernatural thing that's going to lead to the destruction of that so it can be rebuilt? Or are people just going to have to declare World War III in order to be able to tear it down? You know, how's this going to happen? And it's a terrible thing to consider. You know, I think they have a right to rebuild a temple, but, you know, it's a tough thing to say, but you have to really go and create an intifada over this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what it looked like. And recently there was another view that was proposing, really on the Christian side, it didn't get any traction in the scholarly side or the rabbinic side, but that it was in the city of David. And, you know, both of those just didn't quite ring true to me. On the Dome of the Rock side, though, there's a couple of really big problems. I watched a video tour given by a rabbi who's working to get the temple preparations made. I mean, they've made the golden menorah and the priestly clothes and, you know, so many of the...
It's amazing, huh? It's amazing when you see what, you know, the preparation that's been taking place. I mean, this isn't just something that people have thought about. I mean, down to the red heifer, right?
Yes. Yeah. They've got an altar. It's actually even portable. So they're ready to go, but they don't have a place to build it. And as he was walking around, he indicated the Golden Gate, that, you know, this is the gate that's supposed to be, you know, the Messiah gate. But it's in the wrong place because in the days of the Holy Temple, all the gates were aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's what the temple was here over by the Dome of the Rock, and see, the gate's not in front of it, so therefore it can't be the right gate.
Right.
And, you know, but the gate is walled up. And so there's a prophecy I was reading later in Ezekiel 44, and it says, "And I looked to the gate that faces east, and it was shut. And it will remain shut because the Lord, the God of Israel, has entered by it, and therefore it will remain shut." Mm-hmm. And you go, well, you mean like, you know, and Christians, pilgrims all, you know, report about this gate, and as they're talking about it, they report that this is the gate that Jesus entered. And it says that he came up from the Mount of Olives, he went into the temple. And there's a verse in Ezekiel that describes the glory of the Lord of coming in by the east gate. And so that started the sort of messianic expectation for the east gate.
Right.
And the rabbis again reported its line. And I'm like, well, but it looks like an old gate. It looks like there's prophecy that confirms, you know, that Jesus entered that gate. Now it's shut. So, like, what do you mean it's not the real gate? So that didn't feel right. And the other thing that we have to remember is, how was the temple location chosen in the first place? It goes all the way back to David doing a census, and he sinned by trying to count the men when he shouldn't have. And so the Lord sends a plague, but the angel stops at the threshing floor of Araunah. Mm-hmm. And David buys it, and later 2 Chronicles 3:1 tells us, and then, you know, Solomon began to build the temple on Mount Moriah, you know, and on the threshing floor of Araunah. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, so this should be a big flat, you know, bedrock area. And you look at the rock inside the Dome of the Rock, and it is not flat.
Right.
So you go, how was that a threshing floor? Right. And if it wasn't a threshing floor, then it doesn't mark the location of the temple. And it turns out there is a very flat bedrock area perfectly in line with that golden gate. And it's been overlooked because the whole platform that the Dome of the Rock sits on has been leveled to and cut into and around the flat bedrock area. It's under the Dome of the Spirits.
Right.
And it somehow makes it hidden in plain sight. Like, even though it's there, it just looks like a part of the floor. And so it's something that's easy to overlook. But I thought, you know, that just seems very unlikely that you have this big flat area of bedrock in the perfect spot for it to be part of the temple. It's in line with the Golden Gate. What's the probability of that happening by accident? And it's a 0.07%, you know, then that's where I got to nerd out, right? So
right.
That's probability.
Exactly.
But it's like a 99.93% chance it's not an accident.
Right.
So it's like, oh, whoa, all right, wait a second. Right. We're data-driven. You know, that's got to somehow, you know, those things all start coming together and make you look in a certain spot and really go, hey, is there something? And so I go over all the evidence and I go through all the other views. The City of David one is the most mystifying one to me. But a lot of people believe that the current Temple Mount was built by the Romans after the destruction of the city. The Temple Mount today is like one of the acknowledged wonders of the world. I mean, it's got blocks in it that are 500 tons.
Yeah.
The army did not make, you know, a temporary shelter for a while, building, you know, a building that is grander than, you know, almost any of the structures that you could point to in the world today from the ancient world.
Wow. This is fascinating stuff, and we've only got about a minute or so left here, Christian. And, you know, this is why you got to read the book, okay, ladies and gentlemen, Temple Revealed.
Absolutely.
Because there's so much to this. And I've said this to Jonathan Kahn, you know, when he gives me things that, you know, that have been revealed to him. And just as you're sharing, I told Jonathan, I go, you chicken skin me. He didn't understand for the long, and I said that. I mean, I've known him, you know, about 5-6 years. And I've told him from day one, you know, he comes up with stuff. He's like, you just chicken skin me. He didn't understand. And finally, you know, in the last year or so, we were together, and I said that, and I said, you don't understand what I mean, do you? And I go, well, that's just an expression that, you know how you get, you know, goosebumps? That you go, oh, yeah, goosebumps, I get that. you've chicken-skinned me, Christian. and our audience as well. Again, congratulations on the book. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezShow.com. God bless. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Power grid fail.